For a second day in a row, commodity prices are down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The price of oil is well below $100 a barrel today, a mark it hadn't seen for weeks. Gold prices are off from their recent record highs. Even the price of cotton is down. The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us now from London to talk about why we're seeing these drops in commodities. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Steve.
So what's the deal with commodity prices? Why are they dropping?
Well, some people think it's partly about fundamental economic things, so concerns about the strength of the global recovery. If it weakens, that would undermine demand for commodities such as oil and industrial metals. There are signs of weakness in the US that it might be faltering a little, and concerns that higher inflation around the world might lead to central banks raising interest rates. But some people in the market, such as Alan Nuckman, senior strategist at Agora Financial in Chicago, think that prices had just got ahead of themselves and were due to come down.
The big 10% down move in crude oil and silver were long overdue. So you're seeing a combination of factors that kind of gave them a bit of a knockdown. But I look at this as mainly profit taking.
In other words, some investors have been selling to cash in on the price rises.
Why, Andrew, are the prices that are dropping a problem if it costs less for consumers and companies that use these raw materials?
Frankly, for most people and firms, I think it's not a problem. The people who will be hit are the commodity suppliers, for example, the OPEC oil-producing countries, and maybe some investors who've got into the market very late. But bear in mind, with things like oil, the price has only gone down to the level it was a couple of months ago, so no big losses just yet.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Today in Portugal, workers at a lot of hospitals, schools, and government offices are on strike. They're unhappy that their country's getting bailed out by European neighbors to the tune of $100 billion. But it's not the money workers are upset about. It's the strings attached. From Lisbon, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Portugal's bailout terms appear milder than those imposed on Greece and Ireland. But the finance chief here admits that the cuts in pensions, healthcare and welfare spending will be painful. He says they'll bring on a recession. Portuguese unemployment is likely to rise from 11 to 13%. Ana Oliveira is one of the organisers of today's strike. She says government workers and services will bear the brunt of the austerity, and that's unfair.
It was not the public services that put us into this mess, so it shouldn't be the public services to suffer.
The main political parties and many of the unions have broadly backed the bailout plan. It does seem likely to go ahead, but a general election is looming, there's uncertainty, and discontent here is rising. Portuguese workers go on strike less than any others in Europe, but that record may be tested in the months ahead. In Lisbon, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets have been all over the place today. Asian shares lost a little ground, but European stocks are a little higher right now. Kraft Foods said profit fell by more than half. The company said it may have to raise prices this year. Domino's Pizza said costs for meats and cheeses didn't go up as much as expected, and sales were up more than 8% with help from its new pizza recipe. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 139 points, more than a percent, to close at 12,584.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com.
As we await today's big April employment report from the Labor Department, medical jobs are still growing by leaps and bounds, including the position of nursing informaticist. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports, even though most of us don't know what that is, the job is in pretty big demand.
Don't tell her boss, but Diane Humbrecht gets a lot of recruitment calls.
Several every week.
Trying to pull you away from this hospital?
That's right. But I love it here, so.
Here is Abington Memorial Hospital, where Diane is director of nursing informatics. She helps clinicians talk to the IT staff and vice versa.
So we help translate. I always think of us as a translator.
Between nurse speak and geek speak. For example, when the quick stroke of a pen is replaced by a series of mouse clicks to type in the same information over and over on multiple screens, nurses complain to IT.
And IT will be like, well, why? But if it comes through us, we can explain it in a different way, in their language.
And get IT to make the system easier before nurses revolt. And revolt they have, not at Abington, but at other hospitals.
There are a lot of nurses who did not grow up with computers.
Joanne Spetz is an economics professor at the School of Nursing at the University of California, San Francisco. She says that hospitals are spending billions of dollars to go electronic before a federal deadline of 2015.
You know, when these systems work, they can be great for patient care. But when they don't work, either because there's a flaw in the system or because there's a problem with the implementation and the buy-in, it can basically be wasted money. And even worse, we've seen cases of patients getting harmed.
So hospitals are desperate to hire informaticists or technology therapists like Diane.
You gotta go and sit with the staff. Tell them it's okay. Show them, look, you can do this. And then they're just thrilled.
Nursing informaticists earn an average $99,000 a year, up from $70,000 in 2004. For Diane, there's a greater mission to getting nurses to go electronic.
Because as nurses, we really haven't been able to tell the world, really, what we do. It's all anecdotal. But now I actually have documentation and data to quantify what a nurse does every hour of the day.
So hospitals can learn from the best nurses. And as a nurse herself, Diane is happy to help her profession. As a techie, she knows that nothing's real until it's digitized. In Abington, Pennsylvania, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, here's your chance to own a piece of Hollywood history. The house from the movie Home Alone is for sale. The family that's selling the Northside Chicago home has lived there for more than 20 years, including during the six-month film shoot while Macaulay Culkin ran off bungling burglars in the rest of the house. The asking price? $2.4 million. Makeshift burglar repellent system sold separately, of course. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online, by the way, at marketplace.org. You can grab the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The makers of Lay's potato chips have invented a new kind of salt. It's reportedly healthier and tastes the same as table salt. Why fix what nature already gave us?
That's what the consumers are increasingly asking for. One, I want healthier products. Two, I don't want to compromise on the taste.
I'm Tess Vigeland, having your chips and eating them too, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.